Engage.
Engage. Hey, welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And did I get the show right? I said big show. I did. All right. Well, then I'm going to consider this show a success already. Hey, so it's fun to get to hang out with really cool people. And there are two right here with me. Nope, too late. You looked around and realized, oh
Yeah,
crap, it's you. Yeah, so
I think
no
so.
pressure. Patrice, how are you?
How are you? No pressure. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm in the last week before my vacation. You know, that thing that the US is not doing. I have that called a vacation. Next 2 weeks, I'm off. And I'm very much looking forward. Actually, it's not entirely true. I have one meeting with our founder end of next week. But I agreed to do that. I'm like, okay.
So you're going to have a business meeting during your
Yes.
vacation. That is so
Yeah, but like
American.
for 2 hours or something. Yeah, I mean
With
it's
the founder.
with the founder, yeah. It's I'm okay with that. I'm very American that way, that's true. I also barely ever take vacations, so I think I've this year maybe done the 5 days or something over the year. If at all, like maybe three. Don't know. It's not been that much.
Well, you're
So
due.
yeah. I'm different. I'm overdue, honestly. I'm done.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. No,
Yep.
I'm good. Hey, happy to be here. Happy that we're doing this. Been looking forward to it for the last 2 weeks because I couldn't join last week. So glad to be
Yeah.
back.
And it was questionable if I was going to be able to join last week, but it turned out that I could. Yeah, so welcome back and well, for a week because you're gone next week. So we'll take it as we can get it.
Well, no, I will be doing that there next week, the week after I'm gone, so.
Oh, see, I can't even do like calendar math anymore.
Calendar math. It is difficult. I get it.
It's because of the time zone difference. That's what threw me.
That must be
Yeah, that's it. Hey,
it.
Tom, how are you?
I am doing great. Thanks, Jeff. I'm in a hate computers day today. Been fighting with my internet provider for about a month, and everything seemed to get fixed except for one stupid thing. And I won't go into the details, but I hate computers today.
You know,
I'm with
I
you.
feel your pain having to deal with the whole internet service provider thing. It's it, and it, stuff like this makes me appreciate being in Longmont instead of Boulder now, because I had to move outside the city limits last year because I had to move. And it's a long story. Suffice it to say, boo on the dude bro real estate guys that buy up properties and then jack up rents.
Dude, bro.
Living in Longmont, I have municipal broadband and it's fiber, so I have
I'm
synchronous
jealous.
gig speeds, no
I'm
data
jealous.
caps, and the whole process was I called them up and said, hey, here's where I am, and this is what I need, and I've already told Comcast to shut my service off in a couple days so we have enough time to get everything up and running. And they're like, you know, you're only like 10 minutes from our office. Do you just want to come by and pick up the stuff right now? So from the time I called to the time I had my fiber internet up and running, including drive time, less than an hour.
Yeah.
We'll call it an hour just to be generous.
Yeah, my alternative, I have Comcast now. My alternative is AT&T Fiber. So you may be switching one bad provider for another. But I think my plan is I'm going to order AT&T Fiber and have both for a while. And if AT&T works, I'm going to call Comcast and tell them to take a hike.
My unsolicited advice, if that's what you do, don't call. Go into one of their offices and do it in person. Otherwise, No, I'm serious. I've heard, I
It'll take
experienced this, and I've heard
forever
so
to
many
get them.
people tell me the horrible stories of trying to cancel it over the phone. And, you know, they spend an hour or two on the phone fighting just to get their service canceled. And then when they take the equipment in that was sent to them that they never wanted, they have to take it into an office. They find out their service was never canceled anyhow.
All right, maybe. Yeah, I have an office close by. Maybe I'll do it that way.
Just take everything in, tell them what you're doing, and it'll be a much more pleasant experience.
Yeah, except instead of switching to something nice like kind of a co-op like you have, I'm going to be switching to AT&T, and I'm just not sure it's going to be any better dealing with that, to be honest. But it's fiber instead of coax, so maybe that's the main reason to do it.
Fiber is really
Fiber,
nice.
much
Yeah.
better.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we're done with Summer of Fun because,
Yes.
yeah, because
Officially, as of today.
as of today, yes. So
No more
today,
fun. No, that's not true.
right. Now we're
No
back
more summer.
to just mean boring stories. No, so
To being Germans?
today we're back to doing German news.
Oh my God.
And
Oh, I have the perfect story for that, actually.
oh,
That's actually
excellent.
cool.
Yeah.
I mean, political very much, but also tech related, right wing German story. So,
Does it involve Saxony?
no, actually not.
All right, so I need to
I'll
be
throw it in
just
the
honest with everyone. I have no idea what's going on in the news world,
Nothing.
technology-wise, world news, nothing,
Actually,
because
there is stuff happening right now. So,
oh, great. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about it from the two of you. Yeah, so for those of you that are like, why? Yeah, I had a jury summons last week, went in expecting it to be a one-day thing or maybe part of a day, and then I'm out. And it turns out that I had been summoned for a jury selection for a major incident that had, well, it was a mass shooting. And so once we were in, we were immediately put under a court order where we had to avoid news and anything that would potentially expose us to more information about the case. So for me, that really meant I just can't look at news and I have to stay off social media until that court order is lifted. And so that means that now that it's lifted, I can look at the news, but I haven't
You
yet
don't
because
want
it's only been a few hours and I'm kind of afraid
to.
to.
Yeah.
So I have
Isn't.
no idea what's happening. So whatever you two tell me, it will be an exciting surprise.
Isn't jury selection called voir dire? Do I remember that correctly?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Michael Weatherly and Bull. To be fair.
Well,
Yeah,
nicely
I
done.
remembered
Yes.
that. I thought so. I was like, that must be, I think that's it.
Yeah, voir dire.
Yeah,
Yep, jury
interesting.
selection.
Yeah.
And it
Cool.
was a
Yeah,
very
there's actually
interesting
stuff happening.
process.
Oh, I bet. I mean, I've only seen it in TV shows, so I don't know how that compares to reality, but it sounded like a really interesting thing. Especially for, I mean, that's not a thing here. I never heard of it before I kind of got exposed to US customs.
Well, for a case like this, jury selection, I mean, the logistics of dealing with this, to make sure that they wouldn't run out of potential jurors, 1,500
Must
people were
be.
summoned.
Yeah, that must be difficult for a case like that. Yes.
Yeah. And so they had to weed through that. They start with questionnaires, which is totally normal. But in this case, it's like a 15-page questionnaire. I'm totally sidetracking us, but we'll
Yeah,
eventually get to
there
real
was a
news.
Jason. No, there was tech story. There was probably a Jason Bull behind it with like a super AI that had already scanned all your social media and your podcast and decided whether they wanted you or not. Right?
You
That's how
know,
that works.
it wouldn't surprise me if after they went through the questionnaires, because like from that immediately, you know, there's a certain pool of people that aren't just appropriate for
Yeah,
this.
I mean, that's kind of also the point of the questionnaire, to find the people that you immediately know, okay, that's not going to work, and you can cut out.
And then from the rest, it wouldn't surprise me if for at least the first block of people, they did at least a superficial, I'll call it a background check, even though it's not really what they were
Yeah,
doing.
that would make sense. Yeah.
Well, and you're
Or
not that hard to
it is
find,
kind of a
given
bit.
that you have the same username on every platform. You'd be easy to find.
Oh, they can figure that out. I mean, for Jeff especially, it's super easy, but I mean, that's not hard.
So, but yeah, I mean, the whole thing was just fascinating. And no, I'm not serving on the actual jury, but I was there right up until, well, even not, I just to make it simple, I was up there through the final selection of the 12 jurors and four alternates. An interesting thing for them, there will be 16 people sitting in the jury booth. None of them know if they are the alternate or one of the four alternates.
Oh,
So they go through the
interesting.
whole trial. Everyone does.
Yeah,
And but the
thinking that they're okay.
yeah, so the court
Yeah.
knows who are the 12 actual jurors and who are the alternates. And yeah, so
But I mean, that can also change. I mean, there's a reason why there's for alternates. Like, that can also change
right.
it. It's any time.
Right. And that this means they can lose up to four jurors without having a problem.
Right.
So,
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like if
good.
someone gets really sick and they can't be on the jury anymore, there's some major life crisis that just isn't avoidable and they have to take care of it. Yeah.
So instead
Right.
of super interesting. 12 angry men, it's 16 angry people.
16 angry people.
Doesn't
Sure,
really have the
let's
same ring.
I hope they're not angry, because that's kind of the point, that they should be open. Should, I'm saying.
Yeah,
Sitting through the whole
Henry Ford
process.
was angry.
Yeah, he was angry. Now, sitting through the whole process, I feel comfortable saying that as a person who's actually not part of the team that was making these decisions, which would be initially going through the questionnaires, the judge and the prosecution and defense attorneys, and then the actual voir dire selecting the jurors from who's left, the prosecution and defense attorneys. I think they actually did a really good job of picking a well-balanced jury that's going to approach this with the right mindset and be honest and fair through the whole thing.
That's important. Yeah, as I said, for me, this is fascinating, because it works so differently here. There's no, I mean, there is something like a jury here, but it's not that process. It's basically, I don't even know how exactly that they get picked, but as far as I know, you can apply to be a juror, and then they pick you for a time frame for like a couple of years, and you do a lot, basically.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so you can apply to do that, and then they might pick you.
Sounds more
And
like
it's a
the
lot of teachers and
grand
so on,
jury
because they
system
have,
that we have.
exactly. And it's a lot of teachers and stuff, because who has time for that? Teachers. Teachers, politicians, people like that. Yeah. They try to keep that also balanced and kind of random and so on, but like who? Like a random blue collar worker, it's very
Who can't
unlikely
afford
they
to
will
take
apply.
time off work? Yeah.
Yes, yeah,
Yeah, it's old
exactly.
retired people like me.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a different system. I don't know which is better, but it is what it is. I didn't pick it, so.
Yep, we didn't pick these systems. We just have to operate in them. Yeah.
True.
So speaking of random people.
Yeah, random Tom? No. You're
Oh,
not random.
your story, your Telegram story.
my God.
Oh,
We've been so
forget
busy
that story.
talking, I
I
didn't
didn't
realize that I have
want
the
to pick
live
that. I
chat
just wanted
hidden.
to throw it in. If you wanted to talk about like German news, that would have been one. No, I have better stories than this one. But yes, if you like, I put a link in for a German far right issue over Telegram. So.
Well, the tech angle of this is hilarious, that these people are saying delete all your text. Well, guess what?
Too late.
They're all sitting on the Telegram server, whether you
Oh,
delete
that's
it or
too
not.
late. They've been backed up and copied and read and whatever. Like, forget that. No, I have. I mean, there's actually stuff happening because in Germany there is the Internationale Funkausstellung, the IFA, that is happening right
Oh.
now, and there's of course tons of like new stuff coming out, especially like smart home TV. Like it's kind of the alternate to the CES, basically. It's kind of the mid-year, late, yeah, after summer CES version. So very traditional. It's been around for I don't know how long. But there's also like where Samsung, like all the big names, like especially as I said, smart home, TV, like appliances, stuff like that gets announced there. Like Eve, I saw, what was it? There was Philips Hue, for example, Govee, like all of them had announcements. So that's one thing that is happening right now. Quite interesting stuff, but even that's not the only thing that's happening. So, who wants to go first? Should I go?
Well, Tom threw his story in.
I
Just
Okay, then
threw
Tom, you
one.
go, because then it gives
Tom.
me time to pick.
Okay.
Ah, yes, I've been waiting for a chip story. I'm so happy.
So
This, I've been missing that. Like, I'm being honest.
I put in two links, and they're both related to Intel. The first link is, it's rumor, but seems to have some basis. And it's that Intel is putting the brakes on one of their process developments, 20A, to focus on another process node called 18A. And the A is for angstroms, and it's just a name. Just think of it as a name. And Intel was trying to do a lot of new things with 20A and 18A, both very complicated. And if this is true, it means that the 20A is just not working out very well, and they're moving on. And the internal chips, the Intel chips that they had targeted for that node, they're going to send them to guess who to get manufactured? TSMC. So there's Intel, and they manufacture a ton of stuff at TSMC. All the stuff you see in announcements, 95% of that is being manufactured at TSMC, all the new stuff.
That is hilarious.
So it's a pretty big deal if you're sitting at Intel, having a couple of years ago targeted 20A for the place to move stuff off TSMC back in-house, and it's failed.
I mean, they
And
even said by, I think, 2025, they wanted to be on par with Apple.
right.
As far as I
And
remember, that was like a couple of years ago. So.
yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's even questionable whether their 20A or 18A is totally competitive with TSMC's latest nodes. But they're doing a couple different things with the transistors and some other things called backside power delivery that are really tricky and really cool if they can make it work. And the reason this stuff gets to be a little bit confusing is because it's not just manufacturing it. They have to manufacture it at volume with good yields. So you'll hear some people say, no, I've heard they have prototypes and they're working. Well, that doesn't mean anything if they can't ramp it up. So I would guess, if I had to guess, is yes, they could make some parts for 20A with some kind of yield, but the yield wasn't good enough. Or the parts are too expensive, the process was too expensive to be commercially viable. So they're moving their resources to 18A.
I
And
mean, ask any car startup whether a prototype makes a good like production run. No, it does not.
It's the same for every big kind of complicated manufacturer, anything, if you're manufacturing a dock for your phone, you have to be able to produce that in volume with good profit margins, which means you have to have high yield.
Yes.
So the other story I put in there was from a couple of weeks ago. One of their board members quit, and I know this guy, he was the CEO of a competitor in my industry, and he left because the board gave him, his task on the board was to look at their contract manufacturing business initiative. So this was Intel trying to become TSMC and take designs from third parties. And he came back with a bunch of recommendations. And the management and the board didn't like what he was saying because he was kind of beating them up about how bureaucratic and how poor they were at decision making. And so he got frustrated and just left the board. And this guy's a pretty smart guy. So if he's leaving the board, I
Understandable.
think he sees something that's not very good.
Oh, 100%.
Now,
I mean, that's usually what happens in these cases. I mean, if you task someone internal or external with finding the flaws in your company and pointing them out to you and recommending what you should change and what you should do better, and the reaction from the people who tasked you is then, hey, thanks, but no thanks, then that's a problem. Because I mean, then why did you even ask the people or the company to do that? What's the
Right.
point? Like, if all they want is to come back and say, yeah, everything is great, we'll get there. Yeah, what's the point then? Like, why do we need that?
Exactly.
So,
Which gives you some insight into the culture at Intel right now, I think, is the biggest bit of information. Exactly what you say. They can't take any criticism.
The culture, especially on the highest level. I mean, it might even be
Yeah.
that on the lower levels, people, I mean, that's what my observation is. Usually on the lower levels, people know it quite, like, quite often they know exactly what's wrong and they know exactly
Yeah.
what could be improved, but they're not in any position, or they're not allowed to make those changes. It's at least my observation most of the time.
Yeah, and you see a lot of things on social media from people that work at Intel that confirm, yeah, we're screwed up, we can't get anything done. You know, who knows? When a company's in trouble like this and stressed, you know, you get a lot of information and it's hard to separate the signal from the noise, but
Yeah, I mean, it can be one of two things, really. It can be either people know exactly what they should be doing, but they're not allowed to, or it could be that they have absolutely no clue and they're constantly looking for fault.
Right.
Sometimes you
That's
have
true
that
too.
people, because they don't know what to do, they're constantly looking for things that don't work so that it looks like they're doing something.
Well, the fact that they're doing layoffs to conserve money, that's a big red flag for me. So last year they laid off 5% of their workforce, and according to this article, they just recently slashed its dividend and
15,000 more.
announced another mass layoff, 15,000 employees.
15,000.
So that's 13.6% of their workforce. That happened at the beginning of the year. That's a bad move,
In
typically.
addition, they're working with investment companies to figure out solutions to their cash flow problems, and they're considering selling off a couple of units. A few years ago, they bought a company called Altera that makes field programmable chips.
See,
And they're considering selling that off.
I mean, those layoffs, as much as they suck for the people who were laid off, I wouldn't necessarily say that is because they have a cash flow problem or something. It could, I mean, sometimes it's all about perception and like looking like you're doing something and looking like you're
Right.
improving things. Like looking like you're actually trying to improve something. So, and sometimes, I mean, especially when people are clueless and they're doing management by Excel sheet, that's what they do. They're like, okay, like what is my, I mean, honestly, what is usually my biggest cost factor? It's usually people.
It's people.
Yeah.
I mean, even in chip manufacturing, I'm pretty
sure.
sure, I mean, yeah, the machines are expensive, but I'm pretty sure the people are as well, like the biggest factor. So.
I saw a stat, you know, I might not get this 100% correct, but I think Intel has more employees than TSMC, NVIDIA, and AMD combined.
Which
Wow.
would make sense given how big they were once. They were the
Yeah.
biggest in the world, for sure. They were basically producing everything. So it would make sense from that time, but it's maybe
Right.
not today.
But if you take NVIDIA and AMD, which are design houses, they have no manufacturing, and then you add TSMC, which is the biggest semiconductor manufacturer in the world,
And they're
and
still
your
smaller.
headcount is higher than that, you know, because those, you know how investors are. Investors look at simple benchmarks like that.
And I mean, the question becomes, and that's something that a lot of companies learn as they grow. Sometimes a bigger headcount, like some, I mean, sometimes a bigger headcount doesn't mean better. Because if you have more people, you also have to show more results for those people. Like that's unfortunately business these days. It's that's as much as you might hate it, but that's how it works. Like if you have more people, you have to show more results because more people should, in theory, cost you more, but should, in theory, also produce more. And that you can then question on Intel's side. And I think that's the other side of this whole thing. If you want to look attractive to investors, selling off the entire thing, splitting it up, or selling parts of it, or whatever, just having investors, like people just investing in your company, if you're selling shares or whatever. It's one way of making your books look better and making you look more attractive on the market is, well, the costs are lower. Right? So
Well,
it, as I said, it sucks, but that's unfortunately business.
and from the tech angle, I actually am rooting for Intel because right now we're getting to a place where TSMC is going to really be a monopoly. They already kind of are. And the only companies that are even close to competing with them are Samsung and Intel. Intel is failing. Samsung is kind of getting there, but not really. And I
Yeah,
think
they're
how
far
that
away.
affect all of us is
Yeah, I think
good to
Qualcomm
have.
would be one, right?
Well, they don't manufacture.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, how did I not
So,
know that?
yeah.
I thought they manufactured too.
No, they go to TSMC and Samsung. But
Okay.
I think, just
Ah,
like
that's fine.
anywhere,
Okay.
you need competition. If nobody is pushing
Yes.
TSMC, it may slow some of the progress.
In a way, I mean, I'm with you on that. I think we need competition, but I'm also, don't want to sound gleeful because I'm not like because there's a lot of jobs and a lot of people that depend on that company, but I'm also kind of, yeah, I don't, I said I don't want to call it happy, but I think it's about time that Intel is also
Oh yeah,
being
I agree.
right-sized or like
I
getting a
agree.
damper because they were really quite arrogant back in the Wintel days. They did a lot of shady shit with Microsoft together.
Absolutely. Oh
And
yeah.
I mean they dominated the market for so long that I'm kind of I don't want them to fail. I don't think they deserve it. But I think they also like have to come back to reality simply. And I
Yeah,
think
and
they've
don't
been
forget
living in
what
a
they did.
bubble.
Don't forget what they did to Motorola in the 80s with, when they just killed them and did all that those really shady business practices to kill the 68K.
So, having them maybe come back a little bit more to reality, to having to actually compete, I think is a good thing. And you're right. Like if the same thing could happen with TSMC. And I mean, we know with TSMC especially, there is the whole like China topic that's is on the like that is a risk. So having someone else in the market is also kind of a little bit of a protection there. So yeah, it's said I have a feeling that they haven't reached that point yet. I mean, that's my feeling of like what they've been saying, or like, oh well, sure we will be like we will overtake Apple in 4 years, five, four years, 3, 4 years, I think. Sure, we're the best in the world and all of that. Like it sounds like they haven't learned yet that the world has changed.
And I
So
think a lot of
maybe
that,
that's what has to happen. Board
a
has to
lot of
change.
that PR was for internal people, was to keep
Yeah,
motivated.
sure. It always like that's something to know about PR. PR is not just for externals. It's also oftentimes for internal purposes.
I may or may not have written press releases in my past that were targeted to internal executives.
Sometimes,
I may
yeah,
or may
sometimes it's
not.
what you have to do.
Well, okay, so related to what you're saying, because I'm reading more in this article, to Tan, so the Bhutan, that's who left the board. Intel appears a bloated mess with inertia-inducing layers of bureaucracy, including an army of middle managers who thwart innovation at the company's desktop and server divisions. To put Intel's bloat into context, some of the teams are currently operating with a headcount that is five times the size of the given teams at the company's rivals doing comparable work.
Five times.
That's probably
Yeah,
part of the problem. It's not always
Lip-Bu's.
that five times more people produce five times more output.
No.
Right?
Lip-Bu suffers no fools. You know, He's basically, his main job is as a VC. I think it's Walden
Yeah, it's the
Ventures.
same.
So he suffers no fools.
It's the same thing. If you have nine women, you still can't produce a child in 1 month. No matter how much you try.
You can't parallel process
Nope.
multiple multi-thread
No, there's
hyper-thread.
also no backside power supply, none of that works. Oh, sorry. Not how it works.
Well, that just totally threw a wrench in my baby farm
Oh
plans, but okay,
my
I want to know
God.
now.
What were you planning?
Just remember, Jeff,
I think we have a
Soylent Green
show
is people.
title, Jeff's Baby Farm Plans.
Jeff's baby farm.
Oh my God. Hey, Patrice,
Yes.
what's this story that you dropped us, the YubiKey
Yeah.
thing?
So the real story there was
Ooh.
a bunch of IFA topics, but I really wanted to talk about this YubiKey topic because security these days is one of the, I think, the hot topics that we have. Lot of threats every day, a lot of solutions that work for a little while and then have problems. So of course YubiKey is no exception. Like, I mean, anybody who knows anything about security hardware token or any of that knows that this is inevitable. Some researchers, security researchers, for sure, they're constantly poking and prodding devices and seeing if they can't break them, because if the researchers can't do it, someone else will. Like, it kind of makes sense that that's why we have white hat security researchers, because you can be for damn sure that all the governments, like the agencies and the bad guys, all of them are trying that. So it's sometimes better to do that in the open and then show everybody what's happening instead of it happening in the dark corners of the world, basically. Because what you don't know might hurt you. That's unfortunately the world that we live in. So they have detected a vulnerability in the two-factor authentication tokens that YubiKey produces. So I don't know if people know that, but I mean, you have the two-factor code, like, I don't know, even, I mean, don't use it, but text messages or emails, kind of, you get a code, you enter that, your Google Authenticator, Microsoft Authenticator, there's like a million different, but there's also physical devices that you can use, like the YubiKeys, for example, that basically in hardware do the authentication. So there's a key in there and it generates those random letters, numbers, whatever. And the way they get generated in this device, was they can clone basically it. That's the problem. So they can clone what is stored on the device. So that's of course a problem. The vulnerability was discovered within a cryptographic library, but from Infineon, that is used by most YubiKey products. I'm pretty sure they're not the only ones using it, but this story is only about them. The YubiKey 5, for example, the BIOS, the security key, and the YubiHSM2 devices. So HSM is hardware security. No, HSM, I forget. Hardware security management. HSMC, I've forgotten what it even stands for. Hardware security module. See, I was like blanking on it. That's kind of embarrassing. Because I work with that all the time. It's that not a surprise. It's a side channel vulnerability. So they basically can side channels are usually things you can detect some because I mean th this is chips and like electronics working. You can sometimes detect something else doing something by effects that has on other things, like the electromagnetic fields that get generated by, I don't know, a CPU, some security chip, whatever, bleeds out to other parts that you can maybe, like your RAM or like memory or like even sometimes just like circuits. And if you can detect that, then you know what's happening in the chip, basically. And if you know what's happening in the chip, if you can detect that, then you can at some point probably get that to the key. Because you can identify what it's doing and how it's doing it and what the values are and so on. So it's really complicated. It's not as bad as it sounds because YubiKey said that they call it a moderate vulnerability because yes, of course, it works, but it's very difficult to exploit because you can't do it remotely. You have to have the user has to do
The
something.
key.
The user has to like I mean, you have to touch the key, for example, to do it. So, and you have to break the key basically to detect that. So it's not something where you can just hide it somewhere, like detect it from far away. Like you have to really open up the key or the HSM if you use the security module, and it attach things to it and whatever. And then it gets a little bit hard to hide that from the user that's using it.
Excuse me
So,
while I open up your YubiKey and put my
Yeah, or I go into your
voltmeter on
data
it.
center. It go into your data center and get your hardware token, like a hardware module. So, it's not impossible, but it's, I mean, at the point where the attacker is in physical possession of your key, you already have a big problem. So, I would say yes, it is something to be aware of. It's also not something that that you can do easily in firmware. It's not a software glitch, or not at least not only a software issue. So it's design in the design of the keys and the design of the chips and so on. So it's really difficult or impossible to fix. It's hardware, that's the problem. Like hardware is really great, but if there is a problem, you can't fix it.
Fix it.
You could just replace it. It's the only
I
thing.
think the fact that somebody figured this out is incredible engineering. Like you said,
It
it's
is.
the risk is pretty moderate, but it gives you a clue that there may be other hardware devices that are more easily side-channeled.
Everywhere. I mean, there have been side channel attacks on like Apple devices at some point. I think even iPhones, like really old iPhones with like the secure, I think the first version of the Secure Enclave, so on. That happens. This particular flaw, they think has existed in the chips for 14 years without anybody knowing. So that's how hard it was to find, and I mean, we don't know if they're the first ones that found it. As I said, dark corners. Yeah, this, as I said, it's a chip problem. Like they say, like they believe that other devices, like the mentions in here, the SLE78, Optiga Trust M, and the Optiga TPM microcontrollers are also at risk because they're kind of using the same stuff. So
But those are Infineon chips, obviously, that are
yes,
running that library.
so it's all Infineon chips. So that's why I said, like, originally yes, it was detecting YubiKeys, but I'm pretty sure this is showing up. It might be in laptops, like TPM microcontrollers, that's a trusted compute platform stuff. Could be in laptops for like hardware, like for disk encryption, for example. Possible everywhere. As I said, it's really hard to exploit, but it's also inevitable. At some point, I mean, as our tools get better to detect things, as our understanding of physics gets better sometimes, like we just, as we have more time sometimes, also simply, like sometimes it's just, the whole monkeys typing on keyboards until
Once in a while.
someone writes Shakespeare. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, not that people are monkeys and they're stupid, but like sometimes you need the randomness of having an idea or detecting something and then like saying, oh, wait a second, maybe I could do this and this, and then I could do something, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, bingo, like I solved it, and that took whatever 10 years.
So I know the DoD has programs for these kind of attacks, and security for them includes this kind of stuff, where
I mean, it is the standard these days, like,
electromagnetic radiation detection, where they can detect when a part of the CPU is doing a certain amount of stuff because the power consumption goes up, but it only goes up with this kind of signature on an
Yeah, the
oscilloscope or
patterns,
whatever.
how it goes up, tell
Crazy.
you what it's doing.
It's
Yeah.
crazy. It's crazy
Yeah,
what the
but that's the forefront of what we're doing these days, like, really.
So I think the worst thing about this story, Patrice, is you're throwing shade on your countrymen. Infineon is a German company.
Yes. No, it's I mean, that's the point is, this is not Infineon's fault. This is probably, as you said, in like every chip in the world is one way or another probably vulnerable
Yep,
some way.
absolutely.
There are protections, and I'm pretty sure Infineon built them in. I mean, what was standard probably 14 years ago, I guess, if this has existed for so long. And over time, they've probably improved it. Just like, I mean, Apple, for example, improved security on the Secure Enclave and so on over iterations. But everything is vulnerable somewhere. We don't live in
Well,
a perfect world where you can have perfect security. It simply doesn't work that way.
and given how hard it is to do this attack, it's easy to say they did a pretty good job. And I think this kind of attack was not really on top of mind 15 years ago.
Well,
No.
no, actually, I think this kind of attack probably was on top of mind 15
Well,
years
we
ago,
didn't talk about it
but they had
publicly.
no we no I sentinel attacks have existed for like a long time. I remember like early 2000s there were on CPUs side channel problems and so on. And this is nothing new. You would have to ask someone from probably the NSA or whatever how long they've known about this. But I would
Right.
say at least on a theoretical level and probably also on a practical level, we've like in the like computer sciences, we've known about this for a long time. That it's, I mean, it's simply it's kind of obvious that this might be possible. So I'm pretty sure they thought they knew about this, but it's, as I said, it's like there's only so much you can protect against it.
Right. You
And if you
can't
find a way
protect for
around the
everything.
protections, if, as I said, as stuff, I mean, as like sometimes our detection mechanisms get better, or we learn how, like, oh, if this interacts with that and this behaves this way, then we know that this was happening here, and you can imply things that you maybe didn't realize before, and so on. We're constantly refining this.
Right.
So this is, I mean, cat and mouse game to some extent
So,
as well. Like better designed, and then someone else comes and figures out another way how to break that.
when, sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
oh no, go ahead. Go ahead. I am more than happy to listen and absorb because, like I said, I've been out of the news cycle for a little over a week.
I was going to say that I can remember probably 20 to 25 years ago, my company issued us cards, and they're basically what the YubiKey is. It would generate tokens every minute or something. And to log in, we had to use that. It was very, very early hardware authenticators. And I think from a security point of view, it's great because you have to have physical possession of that device. The problem with it is you had to have the device. And I think we've gotten so used to having our phones with most of us having our phones with us almost all the time that having a software authenticator like Microsoft or Google or whatever is still a little risky if you lose your phone. But I can't tell you how many times I'd be sitting in a hotel in Boston realizing I forgot my card and calling. Of course, then back in those days, people trusted you,
Oh,
so I
yeah.
just called. I'd call back the Mountain View, say, "Hey, I forgot my card again. Can you let me in?" And they would. Those are different times.
So I checked Wikipedia real quick because I wanted to know like how far back we go. It's not very detailed here, but there's one thing that is mentioned that like a historical like equivalent of modern sitechannel attacks is unknown. For example, there was a declassified NSA document that reveals that as far as back as 1943, an engineer with Bell Telephone observed that they could that the oscilloscope did like certain spikes in on the lines, and they could decrypt like output of certain encrypted teletype, for example. So yeah, it goes
Well, it's like
back quite far.
the people that would wasn't it in Russia where they would listen to the audio of people typing?
Oh yeah. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah, they
that's
had.
Moscow that did that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's basically a side channel attack, right?
I mean, there've been detections of like the signal going to monitors, like probably back in the 70s or something, and
I
they could
remember
detect
hearing
it from
about
far
that.
away. That's why like a lot of like secure buildings these days have like Faraday cages basically,
Heard,
so that
yeah,
signals also can't
absolutely.
go through and so on. Like I mean, one of the reasons. There's many reasons why they do that, but that's one of the reasons, and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, this is probably even older than that. Like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if even like before that you could. I mean, the principle is always the same. Like you observe the effect of something doing something on something else, and inferring from there what happened. And
Right. But
it's
I guess
probably.
it's safe to say that a hardware key is still probably a little more secure than a
Oh.
software
Oh,
authenticator, right?
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, hardware key, as I said, you need physical access to it. You
Right.
need like to like in a software token. All you need is the key that's stored somewhere on your computer, which is
Right.
easily right. By the way, the 2017 Spectre and what was the other one?
Oh yeah,
God,
Spectre
there's
was
another.
getting
Yeah,
snooping on the
Spectre
memory,
and the
right?
other one that the CPU cache flaws were also side channel issues.
Right.
So where you could read basically, yeah, store encryption keys out of memory because of that.
Right.
So
That's a bad thing.
yes, very much so. So yeah,
So
YubiKey is still, my point is YubiKey is still fine. Keep them secure. That's the point.
Okay,
Which you
so you
should do
answered the
anyway.
question I was going to ask, which was should people consider their YubiKeys safe or not, or secure or not? And but
Yes.
okay, so now newer models, they don't have this flaw because they're not using the Infineon crypto library.
They
Now,
might have other flaws.
that's ex it's like you were reading my
Right.
mind.
Somebody
So
will
just
find other flaws.
because Yubico switched the crypto library they're using doesn't make the new keys inherently more secure than the old keys. We just don't know yet what security flaws
Yes.
are going to show up in those new keys down the road.
Yeah, usually I would say the newer keys should be more secure because usually more security measures have been taken. But there's always the counter thing that could happen is like because they did changes, they might have introduced new things that are maybe easier to circumvent. So you'd never know. Like it's kind of a catch-22. You have the old thing that's known, and you have the new thing that has unknown things. So you never know. Yeah. But it's the same thing as like I don't know, Wi-Fi encryption. I mean, you know, we started with nothing, then we had like encryption that was good for a little while, and then that got broken, math got better, we realized how to easily break it, and then we had to introduce WPA and then WAP2, and now we're at 3 and 4 is coming, and it's a never-ending thing.
Yep, never ending. Yep.
Until we get to quantum computers, and then we will have a whole other set of problems. But
Totally new problems, and we won't
yes.
know what to expect.
Yep. Well, and
Unlike
actually,
with
we know
TSO
what to expect.
hosts, where we know exactly what to expect, which is awesome service and reliability. So it turns out that what TSO hosts does is offer really, really solid web hosting services. They make it super easy for you to buy domain names at a good price, and they offer great customer support. So if you're someone who, say, has figured out the best domain name ever, and you want to make a website for it, but you're not sure what exactly you need to do, you go to TSO Hosts, you find the domain name, you add it to your cart, and then you get your web hosting packages. And then to get everything together, if you need help figuring out what you're doing wrong, then TSO Hosts is there to help. So it's just a great deal all the way around. So why would I be talking about them now? Well, it's because what they're doing is taking the things they do so well, and they're saying, "Hey, British Tech Network, the home of Jeff's Baby Farm, you need to use our services because we want to do something to give back to the community, and we appreciate just how difficult it is to bring all the resources together to make that happen. So please take the bandwidth so that you can watch or listen to shows and stream shows anytime you need to. And then here, have this web hosting so there's a place for your website to live. And then here, take this server space so that you can have a place to store all the show files so people really can watch or listen at the time that's most convenient for you. If they can't tune into the live stream, the resources it takes to do this, it's beyond what we can do on our own. So we do really genuinely appreciate that TSO Host is here helping us out so that we can bring quality shows like this to you every single week. And I'm saying thank you now. It would be great if you said thank you as well. The way you can do that is just hop on social media and thank Tio Sohos for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Only takes a minute, and it's a great way to let them know that you really do appreciate that they're here doing this for us. So thank you, Tio Sohos. Yeah, let's say that you really do want to do that whole website thing and buy the domain name. Go ahead and do it with Tio Sohos because you know you're getting a good deal. But here's the thing. Add the discount code BTN20 and you're going to get an extra 20% off your order. So, yeah, BTN20. Thanks, Tio Sohos, for being generous and doing that too. What a great thing to do for the BTN family. Hey, Patrice. So I've been sitting here just going on, waxing poetic about Tio Sohos. I'd like to mix it up a little bit. Even though we have established I'm actually capable of feigning intelligence when I talk about the new chat, do you mind telling people about it anyhow?
Of course. Don't mind at all. Like, it's all good. We have a really cool and super easy live chat system in place since we, a couple of months ago at this point, switched to Owncast, which is an open source, or Fediverse is actually open source, streaming solution. So kind of think of it like YouTube Live or, I don't know, Ustream, something like that. There's millions of them that, like, in the past or even currently are being used. But this is one that we can host on our own website. We have, as usual, our live.britishtechnetwork.com page that you can go to when we're recording, which usually happens Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show. And also, by the way, usually Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, if you want to learn about what's happening on the Apple side. And yes, we have an Apple event coming up next week. So tomorrow, some point, we will do the keynote poker again, as is tradition, I should say, because we've been doing it for a little while now. And yeah, it's just really cool to do. And the good thing and the cool thing about Owncast is you can click a button there. And if you have any kind of Fediverse account, I think it should work with Threads at this point. It definitely works with Mastodon. It does work with PixelFed, like any of the others. Mastodon is probably the one that most people know. You can literally click a button and it will inform you when we're live. So that's how cool that is. And what's even better, there's a little live chat on the right hand side. And you can talk to us live. Like, you see the links that we're posting for the new stories, for the cool. Get beamed up.
Oh, there he is.
Now he's back.
That was weird. I got kind of worried because both of you just suddenly froze.
Yeah, you froze and the stream went away, but it's back. So this is how fast it went. It was already back. I was just mentioning, like, we thought you had maybe been summoned and beamed up somewhere. So who knows?
That's a totally plausible assumption.
Up to
this
a
point.
Spaceship somewhere for the next thing. And now you're streaming from a live spaceship, right? That's what it is. No, like, we have a really cool live stream. That's what I was talking about.
But then I'd have to kill you, so I just won't tell you.
Damn it. So bad. So where we post the cool stories that we talk about, the links to the cool things where you can talk to us and interact with us and offer your opinions on topics and all of that goodness. And as I said, it's just on the page on the right-hand side. Super easy. It generates really funny names for everybody who joins. But if you want to change it, just go up to the top and you can either authenticate with your Fediverse account or you can just change your name. Also, both options are available. And it keeps that. So you can be named whatever you want. Like Tomf, for example. Like, we have Brave Ramen also in the chat. I see, for example. I don't know who that is. Auto-generated names. So really cool chat. But if you can't join the live stream, if you don't want to join the live stream, if you're listening to this on the podcast player after the fact, you're like, hey, I missed it, There's still an easy, super easy way to get to our links and to see what was talked about in the chat. And all you have to do for that is you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And I probably have to fix that. I'll do that in a second. I'm betting it's broken again. Select the date in the calendar that should pop up. And if you select today's date, which would be 5th of September, 2024. Yes, I have to think about that. 2024, 5th of September, if you put that date in, you will see what we talked about today in this very chat. And if you put in any date before that, you will get the date, the stuff from that day. So I don't know if that's interesting to you, but you could go back to 2015 and see what stuff we talked about back then.
Back
so there's that.
Yeah. Well, as they say, the internet never forgets. Hey, Patrice, thank you for doing that. That was awesome.
I just want to point out that justbabyfarm.com is available for one pence on tso.host.
Oh my god.
tsohost.com.
That's
only
awesome.
A penny.
Or a penny for that. Yeah, okay, that's I know why.
Oh my god. Okay. Hey, it's time to do cool things because we're back
cool
to our
things.
Regular routine. So who has the first cool thing?
That's what,
and that
Tom,
would be Tom.
I'm quick on the draw today. So my cool thing is a movie. It's the General Magic movie. General Magic was a company in the 90s with a lot of Apple veterans, people like Annie Hertzfeld. It's where Tony Fadell got his start. And they were trying to basically develop a PDA. They created a PDA just about the time the internet took off. Anyway, it's a great story of a company with a fantastic idea that was probably 8 to 10 or 10 to 15 years too soon from a technology point of view, in terms of the ability to really build something. So it was kind of the Newton time frame. And the Newton, you know, Apple invested in General Magic at the same time Scully started the Newton project. So there was a lot of tension related to those two things, but it's a fascinating story to see a kind of crazy group of people try to develop this product and all the things they went through and, you know, working 24 hours a day and all that kind of crazy stuff. If you're interested in people from Apple or just that time frame, how this technology comes about and what it takes to develop such a product, it gives you a pretty good insight on how hard these things are. And some of the people were nuts, kind of certifiably nuts. But the guy who started eBay was a General Magic employee who on the side was creating this website to sell stuff and offered it to General Magic. And of course they didn't take it. I forget the guy's name. Anyway, a bunch of people whose names you'll know are in the movie. It's a documentary. It's not a drama. It's a documentary. It was really interesting for me because I do remember General Magic. I had an office at one point that was a couple of buildings over from them, and always wonder what the heck they were working on.
So this is from 2018. How did I not know about this documentary until just now?
Yeah, it's really good. I had missed it too, and it's somewhere somebody notified me about it a couple months ago, and I had the same reaction. How come I'd never heard of this one? And it's not bad for, you know, it's not the best documentary ever made, but it's pretty good.
I'm more wondering, where does General Magic live these days?
In my phone.
Next to
Corporal
okay. Mundane.
Ah, okay, that's why. Okay, that makes sense.
Santa Fe, New Mexico. Well, Sedona,
like
Arizona, you should know that. It's Sedona, Arizona.
Ah, that's true. That would fit, like, yeah, he's probably one of those people. He moved to Sedona. Yeah, that makes sense.
They should have headquartered the company.
All right. Very cool.
Funny.
All right.
Yeah, maybe he went through the Stargate and to another planet.
Right. And General Magic is alive and doing well on just another planet somewhere in our galaxy.
Yeah, probably he's probably living with the Nox.
That would make sense.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, did I put my cool thing in, or did
You
I
did
forget
not
to hit
yet.
the send button? Okay, see, that's why. It's like, I thought I forgot something. I was so fascinated by Journal Magic, I just forgot. So mine is a recent thing that I bought and put up on the ceiling, and it's a pendant light from Philips Hue. It's called Ensis, I think. I don't know how to pronounce that. But it's really cool. So I've been in this apartment for a little bit, a year and a couple months, and I had no lights over my the dining room table and my kitchen counter because I couldn't decide on what I wanted. That was part of the problem. What should I do? I need light here, but I don't know what. And none of the options that I found I really, really liked. It was like, So I finally saw this and I was like, yeah, this is it. Surprisingly, it's Philips Hue, which I'm kind of meh on sometimes. They have some good stuff and some bad stuff. This is actually pretty cool. So it's a pendant light. So it's kind of like, think of it like there's basically, you have a bar that's kind of an LED bar. It's hard to, if you see the picture, you know what I mean. It's like a long.
It looks nice.
It's like a bar. It's hard to explain. It's just I don't know, shape. It's like rounded corner, rounded ends, and like a long strip, basically. And it has two LED parts. So one goes down to the table and one goes up to the ceiling. And you can control them independently. So and there's like two like wires that go up to the ceiling and then they get attached there. So and you can like adjust the height, like not like you can adjust it when you put it up. Like you can open up the thing and then move it up and down. It doesn't move up like all the time. Like you can just move it up and down whenever you need to. But you can adjust it to the height, whatever height you want. And it's quite generous. Like I had to pull in a lot of the wire basically because I needed mine a little bit higher up. So I think if you had higher ceilings, like not super high, but higher ceilings would not be a problem. And it's really cool. As I said, you have two LED lights that you can like work independently. Standard Philips Hue, what you would expect. All the colors, quite bright, quite good color. Thing. I bought two of them, so for my table and my kitchen counter, and it's really cool. Like I can like put the ones up in purple to like make the ceiling look purple, and I love that. And it's like as I said, it's really good. And it connects to the standard Hue system, connects to your HomeKit because of that, because the bridge then works with HomeKit, so you can control it with HomeKit and all of that. Like it's what you would expect. It's Philips Hue, so good quality, solidly built, good instructions. I was quite happy with it. So,
and it's 5,400 lumens. Is it pretty bright?
That is pretty bright. Yeah, I mean for the whole thing, like top and bottom. So, more than bright enough for what you need. And since you can change the colors, I mean you can have any color temperature. You can have it more, like warm, cold, bright, purple, green, blue, like whatever you want. Like any color you want, change it all the time. Could probably even program it to like be color changing and rotate to colors, whatever. You can like you know everything that you can do. So pretty cool. I love it.
It's pretty pricey.
It is. I mean, actually not that pricey for like a pendant like that. In that
that's true. That's
solidly true. Built, that quality. It's like what was it, 480, I think?
Yeah, 480.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. It was dollars, yeah. It was like but it was I bought it on sale, it was a little bit cheaper. Like 380 maybe or 400, something like that. So euros.
That's super cool.
It is cool.
So love them. For me, the best option I found on the market. So I said they were super easy to put up. So I said, I mean, other than drilling into concrete, which yeah, even that wasn't that hard.
That's super cool.
Took me,
I like that.
I don't know. Maybe for both of them, clean up and everything, and I had to put in like because the outlets were not exactly where I needed them, so I had to put in like a cable channel or whatever, but I think it 3 hours or something for both of them, so quite easy.
Not bad. All right, so I was saying before we started recording, I think, that you will not guess what my cool thing is today. And Patrice, you're like, oh, it's Lego.
Must be Lego.
It is not.
No.
No,
TV
this is
show?
a thing that I found for my cat, and oh my God, it is awesome. And okay, so this sounds absolutely ridiculous. It's called
Catasaurus.
Catasaurus. And what it is, it's this big like donut thing that's made out of like wool. And but like when not like a blanket, like when wool is treated so it's really stiff, like when you're making a hat. And so it's these two pieces, they zip together and it makes this donut thing where the cats can go inside and run around and play. There's a little cat face window on the back side so they can peek poke their face up and look out. And then the top of the donut where it comes down in, there's actually a flat surface in there so it can be a place where the cat can hang out on top of this thing. And a friend
Wow.
had found this like an ad for it somewhere and said, "Have you ever seen this?" And I watched the ad and I'm like, "I need to go find one of these." And they're on Amazon and they can scratch on it, they can play in it. I put one of my cat's little balls that has a bell in it inside there, and the whole thing will just be shaking and you hear ba-dum, 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 and jinga jinga jing, and she just does laps inside this thing after that ball. And
That another show title? Balls that have a bell on
yes.
it?
Yeah. So yeah. So this thing, they're $60 for one. They're bigger than you think. Like when it showed up, it was
That's what she
ridiculous.
said.
That's what she said. She said, "I wasn't expecting it to be that big. I'm not sure if this will fit."
Okay.
And then she followed it up with, "Well, what happens when we do the zipper?" And yeah. Anyhow, so it was super easy to put together. It's bigger than I expected. If I had two cats, they could both be in here at the same time. And it turns out that this is just a great purchase. When I bought it, it was on sale, so I paid like 45 instead of $60 for it. But I'm feeling like for what I got, and as much as my cat enjoys it, I would have been fine paying $60 for this.
That I mean, this
Yeah.
is a really cool idea. I really like it.
Yeah, somebody was really, really smart to make this thing.
Yeah, it's easy to store, easy to clean. If your cat likes it, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and she seems to like it. I didn't have any trouble getting her to start playing with it. I thought I'd have to put some catnip inside to draw her in so that she'd explore and get used to it. But no, I set it on the floor, and within a couple minutes, she was already sniffing around it, and then boom, inside she went. And so the first day that I had it, I set it up in the evening, and when I go to bed, she comes to bed with me. Not that night. She just stayed in that thing, and it wasn't until like several hours later when I woke up, she was on the bed. But anyhow, she likes it, and I thought it was just a cool little find. So, like I said, this is
Very
not
cool.
something either of
No
you are
Lego.
going to guess.
No
No,
Lego. Not a chance.
no,
But a
but
cool thing.
foreshadowing. There's some really cool Lego stuff coming up
Of course.
I would be more than happy to talk about. All right. So with that, it is time to wrap up. Thank you, both of you, for making today just so much fun. This has been fantastic. And I am already looking forward to next week when we get to do it again. So, Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. Awesome. And Patrice, how about you?
Well, I'm here almost every week unless I'm traveling for work on the big show on Thursdays and also on the Mac show on Fridays. As I said, that's where we talk about the Apple side of things, and Apple Christmas is coming up, so Stay tuned for that. Yeah, you can find out everything I'm doing, all the social media links that I really check the podcast. No, actually, I check it. At least Mastodon, I check quite often. Podcast projects, literally everything I'm doing on the website, thepatrice.com. That's it redirects to my actual website, which is my last name, but nobody knows that. Or nobody can type that. Yeah, we have a really cool podcast, Jeff and I, called The Retro Rewatch. And since I already dropped hints, what is coming out tomorrow as we record this? So Friday, September 6th, we have The Nox. We like the episode, the Stargate SG-1 episode, The Nox, that we talk Jeff and I talked about a while ago. We've been recording quite steadily. But it's one of my absolute favorite episodes. We had a lot of thoughts about it. I can only say the young don't always do as they're told. So
So true.
there's that.
So true. Okay. So my turn. Jay Gamut on social media. And yes, I've been off social media for the past week and a half, but I'm back now. So I will be active on Mastodon and Instagram mostly. And then for shows, Tuesday evenings on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. And Thursday evenings on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS here on the British Tech Network. Big show on Thursdays, Mac show on Fridays. Then Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do retro re rewatch. And I am just so happy with that show, Patrice. I am so glad you said, hey,
Me too.
let's do a podcast. It's a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it's getting me to watch a show I should have watched, what, nearly 30 years ago?
27 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah. Okay. So with that, hey, it is now time to wrap up. Thank you again to both of you for being here with me. This has been so much fun, and thank you for getting me caught up on clearly what was all of the technology news since I was in my news blackout mode. And yeah, it's been lots of fun. Hey, all of you that are watching or listening live, thank you for being here and being part of this. If you've been participating in the live chat, thank you for doing that too. All of you that watch or listen to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. I'm glad you could join us whenever it worked out for you. And hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. Tioso host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And yep, give them some online love, everyone, and use that discount code BTN20. And with that, I will say, join us tomorrow. We're having to work on the timing for when we will record the Mac show. But once we have that sorted out, we'll let everyone know. It's our keynote poker day. Because Apple has, as Patrice pointed out, Apple Christmas coming up on the 9th. They're doing a media event, so presumably new iPhones. All right, so we'll let you know when our keynote poker episode is actually going to be recorded. So watch for that, and don't forget to join us next week for the big show and the Mac show. Mac show will be nice because you'll be able to see just how poorly we guessed with all of
Oh,
our
yes.
predictions for the keynote event. All right. So with that, thank you again, everyone. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you next week.